Welcome to the 49ers You've Got Mail podcast presented by Delta Dental. And today we've got two very special guests with us from the 49ers O-line. We've got center Jake Brendel and right tackle Colton McKivitz. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So you guys are coming off a few days off after a big Thanksgiving win. Had a rare weekend off. How'd you spend it?
Go ahead.
Together. Yeah. One in Seattle, came home, slept in a little, and then Friday we went up to Wine Country into Napa. Jake, Frankie, and Zan, they came up and with me and Abby and got to hang out, went to two wineries, and got to eat some oysters, so that was cool. I'm not a huge oyster fan, but they made me try them, so it was pretty good.
Yeah.
What else did you do?
Not much, really. Just dad life, to be honest. When you have a 10-month-old, that's pretty much all you can really focus on.
Did you take part in any new traditions with Frankie and Zan now that you are a new dad?
Not anything crazy. We just try and keep her happy and keep her on her schedule, keep her napping, keep her sleeping at night. So
is she mobile yet?
Oh, yeah. She's crawling around, pulling on stuff. She has a little lawnmower thing that she pushes around and walks and stuff, but she isn't walking yet, which is great.
Give it a month.
Yeah. She's the perfect baby.
Aww. We'll have to get some baby pics on the podcast for sure.
That'd be sweet.
So Jake, I don't think enough people know about Frankie's birth story, and that actually happened final week of the regular season. How did the timeline of events happen leading up into that Arizona Cardinals game?
Yeah, it was like any normal Saturday night. I told my wife good night and I'll text her in the morning. And then I got woken up by one of our security staff at the team hotel at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I thought someone was jumping me, so I was a little aggressive for a few minutes, but ended up understanding what was going on. He's like, hey, your wife's in labor. There's not a big rush, but you need to go home right now. So gathered stuff up really quick, went to see her, took her to the hospital immediately. Got to the hospital around 6:50 in the morning and got her on the bed. She immediately had her water break. And then about 45 minutes after that, we had baby Frankie out with us.
And so how quickly after that did you have to go and get ready at the stadium for the game that was coming later that afternoon?
Yeah. So our normal like first bus, second bus situation is about 2 hours after that. So we spent some family time in the delivery room. I pretty much got about an hour with Frankie. And then after that, I had to go and play football.
Yeah. How do you manage that? Just being fully there for the game and you just had your firstborn arrive.
There was a lot on, the forefront of my mind for sure. But honestly, that's one good thing about football is you can kind of cut everything off and just play. I definitely had some mental errors that game that I don't think I would have if, if my firstborn wasn't born the morning of the game, but honestly, it was a blessing. It was like it was meant to be. The timing worked out perfectly. And my wife was a champ. She labored for 5 hours alone from midnight to 5 a.m. So it's crazy.
MVP. And then she also took home the game ball, correct?
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan gave us the game ball, gave Frankie technically the game ball.
Well deserved.
Yeah, it was awesome. A dream come true for sure.
Colton, you were kind of laughing during that. How aware were you of everything that was happening that day?
We knew it was going to happen in a 2 or 3 day span. And then we have our routine. We all take the second bus. We all eat together at the same spot at a home game, same meal, everything. And we're like, all right, there's 10 minutes till we leave. Where's Brendel? And we're like looking at each other like, someone better call him. So I call him. I'm like, hey, where are you at? He's like, oh, we had the baby. I'm like, what do you mean you had the baby? He's like, oh, Frankie's here. I'm on my way to the stadium. We're like, wait, what? So we're like, all right, see you there. And sure enough, Frank is here, played everything. But, yeah, it was weird coming down and not seeing him at breakfast.
How cool was it to see Jake and Zan receive that game ball? It's oftentimes that the O-line does not get enough love.
Oh, yeah. It's great for the O-line when we get love. You know, we got a little thing in there where, you know, it's for the kids. Game balls are expensive. That's how we view it in the O-line room. But, no, it's good. Anytime we get love, it means the team's doing good. So, you know, for Frankie to come on that day, and, you know, usually it's on a Thursday practice when our hard days, the babies are born. So guys miss those, but you decided to do it on game day.
Yep.
One of your former teammates, Mike McGlinchey, I think it was on this podcast last year, said that O-line is not something that you choose. It happens to you. So question for both of you. How did the O-line happen to you? How did you fall into the position?
Want me to take it first?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my parents split when I was in middle school, and I followed my mom down to Texas, and that was kind of my first taste of real football. Like, Wisconsin football is awesome, but it's just kind of, you know, small town, you know, like, you don't really know how good you are until you kind of get out of it, you know? So moved down to Texas. I went to like a off-season workout program for the high school, and they, you know, beat the crap out of me for 2.5 months and ended up proving them that I could play varsity as a freshman, but only at nose guard. And then did two seasons there at defensive nose. And then our senior center graduated, and the head coach came to me and was like, hey,
it's you.
It's definitely your time to come to the dark side. So I gained about 40 pounds that off season from like 230 to 270.
That's
and
wild.
It was disgusting. it was absolutely disgusting. Frozen pizzas, sweet potatoes, tubs of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Just disgusting weight. But yeah, learned the offense, and then kind of the rest is history, you know, but definitely didn't choose it. It definitely chose me, oh, like yeah. Mike said.
They choose you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Colton, what's your story?
I don't know. I mean, I went to a small private school, and they had six-man tackle, and like, you played every position, fullback, receiver, all that stuff, linebacker, D-line, and then I transferred to the high school I went to for sports. And they're like, well, you're the biggest kind of guy we got. We're going to put you here. And I think it was Division 5 where you're in. So, what, third smallest in Ohio? They're like, all right, you're going to play both ways, DN, O-line. You know, you got the ability to go to college for it. And so I was like, all right, took it for what it's worth. And, you know, went to college and got it paid for. And now I'm here. Not a crazy story. I haven't lived in every state like Jake has. but I guess Ohio High School, we're a pretty proud football program.
Oh, yeah.
But now, as Mike would say, the O-line, it chooses you. It's a special group of five you get to play with and a bond. And, you know, it's not a very glamorous position, but, you know, we all love playing it. We sure complain a lot about it, but it's a great position to play. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Both of you have pretty unique journeys to your starting positions now with the 49ers. Jake, you started as an undrafted free agent. Colton, you were a fifth-round pick and then found yourself not making that initial 53-man roster in 2021. Both of you are now on multi-year contracts. So how has that early adversity kind of shaped your NFL career?
Yeah, you really find out who you are real quick. You know, being drafted, and you know, you kind of get that redshirt year, and then – you know, you're either in or not. And I found that out pretty quick and didn't realize what it took to stick around. So, now I fought my way through, you know, P-Squad life. And, you know, yeah, we had an injury, so I got called up and got to finish that year. And then I realized the urgency of what, you know, this team wants to do every year is win Super Bowls. And, you know, there's not a lot of positions that are open on this squad. You know, we got guys everywhere and elite players. And, you know, you realize the urgency that, you know, things need to get better real quick, and I think I learned that. And, you know, just the adversity through that, and then finally, you know, starting a few games here or there, and then finally getting the shot this year. And, you know, they came with a contract, and I was like, heck yeah, I want to stick around. So, you know, just blessed to be here, and, you know, to have this opportunity to go play every week is pretty awesome from where I came from.
Jake, you have spent some time with several organizations. What made the 49ers home and worth fighting for?
Yeah, for sure. I was an undrafted free agent, so I didn't get the redshirt year like you did. But, yeah, I mean, I was on P-Squad initially in my career and then was lucky enough to be brought up as a swing interior backup guy in Miami. And I was really fortunate just to be behind a lot of great players. Like Mike Pouncey taught me a ton of stuff that I still use today. The same with Travis Frederick and also Alex Mack. Just a lot of guys that, you know, you really want to be a sponge around and just absorb as much info and technique stuff as you can from those guys. And then, yeah, I finally got my shot year 7 to start, which is crazy. But it, honestly, I feel like my career just, you know, has just begun. Like I've just kind of been in, you know, this like holding pattern for 6 years. 2020 was kind of a weird year because I didn't play. But I also was in the best shape of my life coming into the 2021 season. So it was kind of a gift and a curse there. But yeah, I feel like, you know, I have a lot of football left to play and, you know, this is a great team to play for. And we just got to keep things rolling.
Both of you are playing with a future Hall of Famer in Trent Williams. What's it like being alongside him day in and day out?
T-Dub. Yeah, I mean, every player wishes they could do just half of what he does on the field. The guy's a freak. You know, he'll walk in, first ballot, all the awards, and there probably won't be another guy as good as him at football at the left tackle position. At least in my opinion. But, yeah, just to have his knowledge in the room and just the kind of, you know, the vibe he has about him. And, you know, he's not too over the top to where, you know, you can't talk to him or ask him a question about, you know, a skill you're trying to work on or what he thinks about this or that. So just the, you know, leadership and that aspect and, you know, just the voice he has on the team. You know, every single time he opens his mouth, guys are listening and, you know, he does, you know, breaks us down and everything. And just to have that kind of leadership in the room is huge. And obviously some of the stuff he does is just fun to watch.
Yeah, it's wild. It's honestly wild. And I've been on a lot of rosters and that guy's probably the pound for pound best athlete I've seen ever. So
in terms of offensive weapons, just because that side of the ball is so stacked, how cool is it to block for Brock Purdy and then literally everyone else?
I mean, it's awesome, right? Like plays that on paper shouldn't work, you know, like we'll have this play and it'll be like, yeah, this is really good against this look, but really bad against this look. And we'll get the wrong look on plays, but our playmakers will still make things work.
Yeah. We may not block anyone. Somehow Christian finds his way to the end zone or Debo. Wild. I mean, breaks a tackle and it's 80 yards and
yeah.
Plus, they love ball. I mean, it's a fun group. We have a lot of fun in the huddle. I think we're super close on offense as a group and just the way guys act and we talk to each other and just the camaraderie in that group is, and obviously, there's unicorns everywhere. I mean, my gosh, you look in the huddle, you're like, George Kittle, Debo, Christian, Ayuk, Brock now. I mean, my goodness, it's and obviously Trent, but it's, you know, hopefully we'll get there one day, but, you know, we're coming along.
You guys talk about plays that shouldn't work but end up being game-changing plays, touchdowns. Is there one that sticks out in your mind from this season?
I mean, just that last, like, the red zone run that Christian had.
We didn't block anybody.
Well, yeah, we just pushed the entire D-line about 9 yards to the left, and we just happened to get lucky with the backside D-end not, you know, keeping contain. And that was it, like, it wasn't a good look at all.
Yeah, he stops.
We were out leveraged by a lot.
Oh yeah, he stops 4 yards in the backfield, jump cuts right, makes the guy miss, and then just, and then rolls 4 yards into the end zone. I was like, all right, hey, touchdown.
Do you guys get a chance to see the whole play developer? I mean, you got guys coming at you, so like, what do you get to see?
A lot of times, it's just you look at the Jumbotron and you hope that they can, you know, give us a replay of what happened. But honestly, it's usually on the plane or the bus ride back from the game that you'll see the film. Cause
there's some good laughs. You're like, oh, man, that was bad or that was good. Or someone gets rolled up on or there's
yeah.
you'll see it. I mean, you have a picture based on the play and what we're running. Like, you have an idea of where it's going to go, and then sometimes it just goes the opposite. Like, some of them are – but it's you don't know until it's on the bus watching it with everyone, or it's like, oh, look at this, you know. But it's – yeah, Jumbotron usually a good way. Good way to check out what's going on.
Yeah.
Off the field, you guys also have interest in the outdoors is kind of a common thing with you too. So, Colton, where did the love of hunting and fishing come from?
I started early. My dad, he's huge into it. He does taxidermy. You know, he grew up hunting and fishing. And, you know, he was born in Pittsburgh, Indiana, New York, and then finally Ohio. So he's been around a couple of great outdoor states. And then I think, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, I started doing a hunter safety course, all that. And then just fell in love with it. Done it, you know, it's summer, it's fishing, in the fall, it's hunting. And, you know, I've really gotten into the duck stuff now out here. I'm trying to bring these guys along finally. you know, Charlie will come out. We did a little fishing in the summer, turkey hunting, and then getting Jake out. You know, he came, watched. So it's pretty cool to get these guys out here. And we actually had some duck for dinner last night. Guys cooked it up for us, and Bose and Christian, they all had it and said it was the best thing ever. So it's cool. You know, you open some guys' eyes up what's out here in California outdoors-wise.
Jake, what's holding you back from going from spectator to participating?
Oh, and, like, the hunting stuff?
Yeah.
Really, I just got to get my license and stuff. Yeah. But other than that, you know, I grew up out like in the outdoors too. My uncle Brian's a big hunter and fisher, so anytime he could steal me away from my parents and, you know, take me on like a deer hunt or go fishing with him and stuff. And then we also fish a lot in Florida in the off season. They have a great fishing scene down in Florida. So
yeah, and Zan's quite the fisherwoman, huh?
Oh yeah, it's pretty easy, dude.
Big peacock bass you showed me.
Yeah, man.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, no. No, peacock bass are some of the most fun fish to catch. I'm not lying. It's awesome.
Here in California, where do you get your outdoors fix?
An hour up the road, you go up to 680. You get north of Benicia.
Yep.
You get into Yuba City, Sacramento, and even East Bay. You go to Antioch, you know, Concord, Pittsburgh area. It's everywhere. I went crabbing last year for Dunge's Crab.
Went
straight out under the Golden Gate. It was super cool and came back, had 10 of them for dinner and made Dunge's Crab Rangoons the next evening for dinner. So the food That's out impressive. Here is awesome.
All right, Colton, this is the part where we take fan-submitted questions, and people were really excited to see both of you as the next guests in this. So I'm going to fire these off. Kaylin, this one's for the both of you. We've heard from Nick Zakel and Brock Purdy. What are your go-to orders at In-N-Out?
Oh. 2 3-by-3s, jeez. Plain, meat and cheese only.
Disgusting.
Fries?
Oh, yeah, fries.
Shake?
I do pink lemonade.
I like that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like 2 double-doubles, whole grilled onion, add pickles, and add chilies.
Pickles?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
I like pickles, too.
Yeah. Like, the reason you go to In-N-Out is for the vegetables. To be honest, 100%.
You're going to get some hate mail on that.
No, I'm not. Because, like, if you go to, like, a McDonald's or a Burger King, the lettuce, if you take that lettuce off, it's like this.
Now, I used to do the protein style where the lettuce was the bun.
Yeah.
I used to back in keto days.
And you ate lettuce?
Yeah, I just, a lettuce bun.
He doesn't eat lettuce. He's lying. There's no way.
I used to.
Yeah.
I'm just formerly
a lettuce
guy.
I used to.
I've never seen anything green ever on this guy's plate. Ever.
Are you not a vegetable guy at all?
Oh, yeah, they're poisonous. What do you think? A vegetable or a fruit, anything green, its natural defense mechanism is poison. And it cannot defend itself from anything else in the world.
You don't eat any vegetables.
I'll eat corn, but that's a starch.
That is a starch.
Maybe potatoes.
Potatoes, peanuts.
Yeah. Nothing. There's no green thing.
If I'm going to eat a salad, it's going to be spinach leaves and some carrots and cheese on it. No dressing, nothing.
You might as well just put it in a smoothie, I think.
That's gross.
Yeah, I guess.
Hide it. Yeah. Wow. Okay, we're learning a lot. This one's from our YouTube fam. If you were on a Family Feud episode, which four of your teammates would you take with you?
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Well, Nick Zakel is like a walking, talking sports encyclopedia. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So definitely him.
No, there's one. Me and you.
Yeah, probably you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then that's tough.
Who's our fourth?
I don't know. Yeah, throw out some names.
Only offense. I'm not taking any defensive guys.
Probably Christian. Christian would be a good guy. Went to Stanford.
He's great with movies.
Yeah.
Sam also is great with movies.
Oh, yeah, you're
Brandon
right.
Brandon Allen's great with movies.
You're right.
Ooh.
Which one of those two?
Christian. I'm taking right. Christian.
Yeah.
The Stanford guy. That
Stanford
makes sense.
Over USC, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this one is from 34 Questions. What would your day job be if you didn't play football for a living?
If I didn't have football, if I never played football, I'd probably be coal mining. But so I went to college, so I did graduate. But
he's not lying.
What was your degree in?
Wildlife and fisheries management. What would you be?
So I have a degree in economics that I will never use ever. So not that.
But from UCLA, very respectable.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think it'd be something that's like fun to do, like own like a small business or something. You know, something that I'd like to do. Probably won't make a ton of money, but it'll be fulfilling.
What kind of small business?
It could be anything.
Like what?
You know, I like mountain biking. It could be a bike shop.
You do have some cool bikes. I'll give you that. You're a mountain biker, yeah.
Or you know, it could be like a, you know, I don't know, car wash, something easy.
They need more of those out here. So
franchise owner of several car washes. Hey, whatever floats your boat. Yeah. All right, last one from Joey. How does rainy weather affect things for the O-line?
Makes it great.
Yeah, honestly, it's great because it slows down the get off from the defensive line. It kind of makes, you know, us and our role a little bit more important just because it's probably going to be a more run emphasized game. And yeah, I mean, honestly, if you can deal with the elements and the other team can't, that's a huge, huge benefit.
It changes your job a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the ball gets a little bit slicker. But I've played in plenty of rain coming from Miami, so I'll be all right.
That and sweat down there.
Do you have a worst weather condition game that comes to mind?
Go ahead.
2018, we were in the wild card game in Miami against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. It was the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah,
it was probably negative 20 something wind chill. It was brutal. Yeah, which yeah, that really isn't fun. But also like a high 30s rain game, also really
cold rain,
really sucks. Yeah,
I don't know. Green Bay was cold. I learned my lesson there. I wore no sleeves, and I will never, never do that again. I will always wear sleeves in a cold game from now on.
That wind chill kind of burns. It's different.
Yeah. And then you get hit when you're cold.
Well, you lose feeling in your thumbs, yeah. And then your toes go, and guys got scuba suits on and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I got to be tough. I'm going to not wear sleeves, yeah. You know?
Tough guy.
Didn't work. Mm-mm.
Well, now it can only go up from here. Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for your time. I know it's a busy week as you guys prepare for every game, but it was great having you guys on the show. And Faithful, thank you for tuning in. To be featured on the next episode, remember to put your questions in at 49ers.com/mailbag. And that's it from us.